This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that welcomes all voices, disembodied or otherwise. In this episode, we interview Andy and Albert from the Henry County Ghost Hunters, a nonprofit group that attempts to explain unexplainable phenomena in Henry County.
We're here with
Andy.
And I'm Albert.
And you're with
the Henry County Ghost Hunters.
So tell me a little bit about the Henry County Ghost Hunters. Where did the idea for this come from?
Well, it came from what my what our mom, I think, she always called them the strange and scary books that I remember reading as we grew up. We always had an interest in it, even as little kids, about the possibility to see the creepy pictures of a ghost or reading the ghost stories and that sort of thing. And we're not terribly religious or anything like that, but we always find ourselves, especially in modern day X-Files kind of generation, just wondering what's out there. And with all this new technology, I kind of got with Andy and said, let's want to just make a hobby out of doing something like this and starting a search.
Well, I've had a bit of experiences that have followed me from house to house. We grew up in we grew up military, and we moved to Fort McPherson. Lived in a place that was built in the late 1800s, and at that point, certain things started happening. Scratches on the walls. We'd see black objects, 6 foot solid black objects swoop from one room to the next. And then it's just kind of started following me. I'm the lucky one that it's kind of followed from house to house. I've had the radios turn on and off. I had a coffee table with a total glass top literally explode in my family room.
Oh, wow.
Just as I'm sitting there doing, playing cards with my wife, it didn't fall in. It literally exploded and went out and went 20 feet away from where the table was. I've had the lights turned on and off. I mean, there's been a lot of activity that's taken place in my personal life that I would never do an investigation in my own home, but I've got to find out what's going on elsewhere.
How long have you guys been doing this?
Well, we actually informally did it, we've been doing it about 2 years. We just really have officialized it in the past year. And to top on, to ride on what Andy's saying, I'm sort of, what's neat is I'm sort of the yin to Andy's yang, because I have never had a thing happen to me. Possibly one thing, but, that was even questionable over there at Fort McPherson in Georgia. But, one thing that's, we stress to everybody that we meet and that we're really firm about, even though we call ourselves the Henry Ghost Hunters, we really just did that so we could try to get a peak interest in people who want to talk to us about their properties. The bottom line for us is we're skeptics, and we're going to be really cautious and take calculated steps in saying that we've got something, and we're out to tell a homeowner or a business owner, we think we've done our job, and we say, well, no, what you thought was this was actually this. But lately, that's getting hard to do, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah, well, we were talking a little bit about that before we turned the recorder on. You've gone around to some places in Henry County and said you've picked some things up on the EVPs. Could you tell us about a couple of those?
Sure. We've done plenty of investigations, but it just seems for whatever reason over the past 60 days the activity is just spiked. We have, over the past 60 days, there has not been an investigation that we've done, and we're doing about 3 to 4 per month, where we have not just gotten a slew of EVPs.
If you want to say what an EVP is.
Yeah, you might.
I'm sorry, yeah. An EVP is what's known as electronic voice phenomenon. People in the ghost hunting field and basically say that the entities themselves will basically generate voices in a different frequency that we can't hear while we're talking, but it picks up on digital audio recorders and analog recorders as well. It is absolute. I mean, there is something there. We catch voices at least. We've been catching 2 to 3 on each investigation. Some 5 and 6, 7, 10, electronic voice phenomenons in them.
If those aren't ghosts, what could they be?
That is the unknown question.
That's hard to say, because a lot of times when we're in a site, we have a strict regimen that we follow. Mm-hmm. We try to keep our teams down to a minimum. Mm-hmm. We take zones if it's a large enough house. Some of the houses, you know, built in the 1800s, you're talking 20, 25 rooms. Otherwise, if it's a smaller place, we'll actually pick a room and try to go in there, one team member each, and seal it off. You ask what they could be. We try to record in an area where there's as little background noise as possible. A lot of times, you can have some strange traffic background. You can have traffic far away, and some of these new things are extremely sensitive. The recorders can be really sensitive. In fact, an attribute to recording and analyzing EVPs is having the lowest end quality recorder you can get. In fact, the higher the quality. See, the theory is that EVPs is that they manifest through the formation and the running of electromagnetic frequency. And that's why it's believed that actually a good old-fashioned tape recorder with a brand new magnetic tape and new batteries is probably the best bet. And that's that. I just bought a digital recently, but I still rely on my cassette tape recorder. But I think the only thing, again, you say, what could it be? It could be the running of the motor on one of those old-fashioned things. Mm-hmm. There's a real subtle sound to the motor. It could be creaking in the houses. But that's the skeptical side of me. But again, and you know, I've watched some of the well-known series on television that we all know, and the ghost investigation type shows. And it's real easy to say, you know what? Yeah, right. Because some of the stuff is just so sensational. When you yourself have been shut in a room, knowing that knowing what you heard, what your senses observed, and then you go back in the headquarters after we're over with and review stuff. And for me, I heard a man singing. I was just sitting there. This was in across the street. Well, it's right off the square. The owner wanted to remain anonymous on this one, but I'm in the house and just sitting there. And I never heard anything physically. Got back and I played back the tape, and there's a man's voice singing, and it sure wasn't me. I'm not much of a singer, so it's just pretty strange, and you know, it's hard to determine what it could be, and that's why when you start narrowing things down, it's kind of it makes you wonder. So, yeah.
So more activity in the last 60 days, you'd say, mm-hmm. something like that. What? Just more voices?
More voices. A lot more activity.
Are they saying anything specifically that you can pick up on?
They're very clear. You know, yeah. He is absolutely more of a skeptic. I'm certainly a skeptic. I mean, I because I've had personal things happen to me, I do believe that there is something that's out there, but I don't look at every picture and say, oh my God, there's a ghost when it can be easily explained. The voices are clear. We've heard voices saying, oh gosh, they think we're ghosts. Should we go hide? We've heard,
I died in this room.
We've heard true sentences. They're not just calling out random names and random words. They're true sentences, and that to me is pretty disturbing, and it's not background noise. When you hear, oh gosh, they think we're ghosts, that's not a background noise.
No, that's not a background noise. You've heard more, would you say you've heard more complete sentences recently, or was it always that way?
I'm hoping it's okay that we'll be able to mention the website, but on our website,
absolutely.
We have a link where it's the American Association of EVPs, okay, and on that there's actual, it's a scientific approach. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're actually taking a hard scientific and data-based and interpolation approach to EVPs, and this stuff is being taken seriously now by modern, thinkers. One of the areas on that link, it's actually on the Understanding EVPs link, states what a lot of people who do this know, and that basically in order to manifest a sound or an image, and there's orbs too, which we can get into. I'm real shaky about orbs. Orbs are something I don't know really if I believe in them or not, but EVPs definitely. But in order to make something happen from another level, just, you know, for in layman's terms, to make a sound, to make something visible, that, or something that can be recorded on an electronic device, takes a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. And it also states that with specifics to EVPs, they can only make a 1 to 3 or 4 second long statement or mm-hmm. word because of the amount of energy that it requires. Now, on that note, it is the other thing that in these past 60 days, especially as we've been doing this and getting into really some of the well-known locations around here, we can't keep our batteries running for anything. Mm-hmm. We get in there, video camera, the infrared camera, the digital recorders, our batteries are dying left and right. And that's sort of a well-known...
I've heard of that before.
Yeah. And I tell you what, we were up late last night at a location in Jonesboro. We're actually starting to branch out now, too. But this place last night, I mean,
we went through, when we first got to the location, we instantly replaced all our batteries and all our recorders, cameras, and 15 minutes into it, all the batteries started going dead. I mean, we were having to replace it in their cameras. It was not even enough energy to
take. We pretty much ran out of that house last night, too.
Last night, there was a lot of activity, and we were...
Last night's activity was not subtle. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's why I do this, is so I can have something jump out and make me run up my laundry bill. Pardon the French, but I mean, I don't believe in it, and I want to be shown. And last night, we were at a location, and it's going to be on the website probably this weekend, and he's cool. He doesn't mind us knowing. It's right at the corner of Main Street and 138, mm-hmm. and it was a coffin maker's house during the Civil War. Bouvette Properties owns that one. That's the Bouvette house. But we heard some crazy stuff last night, and it was really getting creepy, and it was just us two. And I'm a cop.
Yeah.
almost a sixth sense, mm-hmm. and it was kicking in last night. So.
What kind of stuff were they saying?
Well, we got in about 4 o'clock in the morning, so we haven't had a chance to review any. I pretty much crashed as soon as we got home, so I haven't.
What else was going on besides voices?
There was movement.
Intelligent response to questions, knocking on the wall.
They named its ghost the ghost
Walter.
That's what they've called it since they've lived there. They know that there's activity there. Things have moved. Papers have gone flying. The cops were called because the alarm was set off one time, and as soon as the cop approached the top of the hill, the top of the stairs, he saw something and drew his weapon. I mean, for a police officer to pull the weapon, he saw something. There was no doubt about it. And basically wound up running out of there like we did last night. There's a when you say Walter, are you there? And you hear
no. You said knocked three times.
Wow. I mean, it was truly responsive, and that was probably the most impressive thing that we've seen since. And you know, just kind of back up. You asked, have we captured? You know, why do you think we're getting better stuff now? Like Albert said, over the past year, we've recently just started getting. Upgrading our equipment. Our equipment's gotten better. We've invested a lot more time and money into our equipment.
And talking to people, because this is a kind of in the closet sort of thing. It was for a long time. But what I found is that as you talk to people, you know, we had business cards made up. I was a little hesitant about even doing that, but you know what? When I talk to somebody about this, they want cards and they have houses. They're like, yeah, my mother has this house, you know. And it's just really, actually, I'm not the only one that's interested in this. And I haven't really, at first I was afraid we'd be regarded as nut jobs or, that's not, people are interested in this stuff, so.
You know. I have a question, and
yes.
People probably didn't even know that I was sitting here, but I've been here just listening, saying that I was going to let Rusty do the interview. But I thought of a question. Do you have any theories about maybe why this kind of stuff seems to happen for some people but not others, if I'm even phrasing that right? Because, like, for example, we were talking about, before we turned the recorder on, we were talking about when Rusty and I went to the America's Garden Inn, and the owners played for us recordings of things that they'd recorded that they didn't hear at the time, but then on the recording there were voices and stuff. We left our recorder on in our room for almost 2 hours. We didn't get anything. I mean, we go around doing interviews in all kinds of places with this digital recorder. We never pick anything up. Do you think, I mean, I don't know, do you think that it could be something about how receptive you are to it? Or
I totally am. I think it's probably not only how receptive you are. One of the members on our team, She's an alternative kind of girl, okay? She dubs herself a pagan, and she's, you know, got the jet black hair, and but she's really cool, and she's in public service, and she saves lives. She, in one particular one we did, she gets all the activity. It's all drawn to her, and she really is into this stuff. I'm into it too, but I'm into trying to say, okay, yeah, right. But I don't know how you feel, but I definitely think, you know,
I definitely think that it's a certain energy level that each individual has. To me, I think because of the things it's experienced in my life, that I obviously have a certain level of energy that it can draw from and do whatever it needs to do. But again, some of the EVPs have been recorded when, you know, I'll set down the recorder and go to a totally different section of the room or of a building, and it will pick it up when no one is standing nearby. So, mm-hmm. you know, just because it's my recorder doesn't mean that it's going to pick something up. It just, I guess, was in the right place at the right time. But I do believe that people who experience true activity in their home, whether it's poltergeist or they're audibly hearing the sounds, I think it is based on a certain energy level that they can tap into and frequency.
You were talking about exploding tables and things yes. like that. How many of these ghosts, if that's what they are,
ghost guys.
You know, whatever you want to call them, do you think that most of them are benevolent, malevolent, somewhere in between, pranksters, serious?
I've had at least 10 to 15 experiences mm-hmm. that are just unexplained. Mm-hmm. I mean, to call paranormal, I don't know. I just can't explain how it would have happened.
Yeah.
At no point have I ever been scared. Even when my coffee table exploded, I was just in awe. At the time, Albert was living in the same subdivision, mm-hmm. and I called him. I was like, dude, you got to get over here and look at this, because I got to clean it up soon, but you got to come see what just happened. I've never been scared other than last night, really. That was the first time because of the responses that we're getting. But things that have happened to me personally, I've never been scared. But there are people who talked about being scratched and being hit and being pulled to the ground, and you know, so there are some entities out there that I think if it's not a ghost, it must be a demon. You know, it's mm-hmm. whatever it is, there are some out there that have that.
In our encounters also, I have to say, at least I've never done this. We've been all over the U.S. and the world, but through the military. But here in Georgia, everybody we've ever talked to, I don't think I can recall one that mm-hmm. said that there was, you know, any of this Poltergeist 3 stuff going on, you know, where there was ill intent on the being's behalf or anything like that. But and I have talked to a couple people. Again, we've never had this, but if they were started to getting, and the word poltergeist actually literally translates to loud ghost, mm-hmm. and I have had some people say that, yeah, you know, it was getting a little annoying. We live with this thing, but it was doing something or annoying us, and mm-hmm. I finally just stood up and said, you need to cut this out mm-hmm. and leave us alone, and then it stopped. Mm-hmm. I've had a few people say, you know, if you just kind of go up and buck up on them, that they'll back down. So, you know, again...
they're what they're scared of.
yeah, so...
I find it interesting that you, Albert, you said that you had never experienced anything like this before, and now that you've become involved with this project and going around to different locations, now you are experiencing it. What do you think? I mean, do you have anything?
Well, you know,
theories about
I wouldn't
that
say
is?
That I'm actually experiencing it, to be honest with you. When we do this, I think it takes a lot of time to sit and you guys do audio too, mm-hmm. especially when we're there for 2 or 3 hours listening to the sound of background noise. That takes a lot of effort to do that and staying awake. When we're in these houses, first of all, I think it's just a real privilege that people let us go into their own mm-hmm. homes and residences and businesses to do this. But I don't feel it's happening, although I might be there or we're there, I don't think it's really happening to us. If there's anything, I do believe in energy. I believe that energy never really had a beginning, and I think it's going to be constant. And possibly that energy can be associated with, you know, composites that are in a house, and, you know, wood, metal, fireplace, brick, you know. I do believe that's possible, you know, I don't feel that they happen to us. Although last night was kind of weird. Again, you know, I think there was just the tip of the iceberg. We're actually going to be going out there, but I just think the difference is now I'm actually listening and spending time listening to what's there and taking a lot of photographs. But yeah.
Well, and what he's kind of referring to is what's known as a residual haunting. You know, basically it's like a tape rewinding itself and playing constantly, and you know, it's the same noise at the same time, or the same activity, and that's residual. But when you have EVPs that respond to questions and that call investigators' names, I don't believe that's a residual haunting. To me, that seems like that's pretty active.
And that hasn't happened to me. They haven't called my name.
Yes, so. They have on the train tracks.
I was skeptical about that, but yeah.
So I believe that there are different types of, definitely different types of hauntings.
How many different types that you could name besides those two?
You know, you can say, you know, a residual haunting, and then I guess really poltergeist activity. You know, that's.
We did one that I really have to say was really, this was an interesting one. It was a real sensitive subject. We were contacted by an elderly woman who really wanted to check out our credibility, what we were doing, and asked at all costs to remain anonymous. She owned, here in Hampton County, I'm not really going to say what city it was in, but she owns and has had in her family for a long time a slave cabin. It was a little slave house on their early family's plantation. And I'm just going to say it was a distressed property, okay? A bad situation happened. The master went into the slave quarters. Some stuff happened between the master and the slave's wife. The slaves go get the master, bring him back to the quarters, and hang him, and then there was a big lynching of the slaves.
Okay,
under this roof and on the yard of this property. Fast forward to today, or not today, but the year 2006. This lady contacts us and she says, "I've had this house and I've tried to rent it out the past four times, and people keep running away. The last people that were renting here left their furniture. They weren't behind on their payments." But I know what's going on, and I want you guys to come out and prove it. We went there, and one of the strongest things that I just can't explain, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen on an analog or digital recorder, but we're standing out in the yard. There's a dam. There's a pond in the place, and the slaves actually had built a wall, a dam out there. I'm standing there, and I see this little antique object sitting in one of the stones. I'm holding my recorder. Call one of my other partners over, and I say, what does this look like to you? And on the tape, we're just talking. All of a sudden, it just stops. Mm-hmm. There's a quick millisecond of silence. Mm-hmm. Then you hear the sound of a mad screaming mob. New tape, new batteries. 12 o'clock at night, out in the middle of nowhere in this rural area of McDonough. Or Hampton. So then the mob sound goes away. Another quick moment of silence, and it goes back to the word I was on prior to that. And I have a regimen on how I'm holding my recorder, and you know, it really makes you wonder. We actually went to Waffle House after we did that one, and we're sitting there, and we about freaked out in the restaurant. What is that? Where did that come from? You know, so it's just you know, I think in situations, I think when there's a real tragedy that happens, I think that probably energy from that can be, whether you want to call it residually or it can get stuck somewhere. And I'm open to that. So, you know.
Excellent.
Probably the only thing that I can think that's happened to me or us, you know, since I've been a kid or is a few months ago we went out to, in Atlanta, an old mental hospital. It's abandoned now. Well, not abandoned, but it's not abandoned. It's been, it was previously the Georgia Mental Health Institute. Now it's owned by Emory University.
Okay.
It closed as a hospital in 97. Emory bought it. They're using part of it for a continuing ed center, but the rest of the grounds are just deserted. There's asbestos signs everywhere. We went there to take photos, but we had to change our camera batteries like three times. We even went to a gas station and bought new batteries.
And the new batteries didn't work.
And I was starting to get freaked out, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be like all like paranoid. Yeah. You know, I was just like, oh, well, we probably just got some dud batteries. Let's go to a different gas station. And
you know, and I'm the same way. I'll be like cussing out those gas stations. Why are they putting dead batteries, just wrapping them and selling them? Like, you know? But yeah, absolutely.
It finally worked, but you know, now that I think about it, it probably would have been cool if we'd had our digital recorder with us too.
Maybe we should go out there.
Maybe we should.
Oh, no, I'll go. Let's go.
You know what? I'm down. Let's do it. Yeah. I mean, we can do a sequel and put it on a podcast.
Did you have permission to go in there, or was it?
No, I mean, it was...
Not really.
It's a... Well, I mean, it's a... We weren't, like, breaking and entering or anything. Yeah. I mean, it was... It's open to the public property.
Yeah,
I mean, but it's just Henry is using part of one building, and we didn't go inside any buildings.
Okay.
We just went, parked the car, just kind of walked around the property, and just took photos of the outside.
Funny you mention that, because in you know, the internet is a neat thing. It's pretty kooky, but it's a neat thing. And it turns out that in the paranormal field, getting a mental hospital of any sort is like the mecca. That's like, we're actually trying to get one in Milledgeville, too. But, yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, I work for the federal government and I'm law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I usually don't have a problem, you know, with a phone call. I can get stuff arranged.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
There was a part of the oldest building, the main old hospital building, that when we went around back, it looked like there might have been, like, a way in, but... I'm not really brave enough to do that. I kind of walked up to peek and like take a photo, but then I was like, okay, I need to get out of here now.
And see, that's how I am. I you know, you say maybe you're not as open to things and you're more of a realist, but then there's sometimes, whether it's your images that you've retained from Hollywood or from The Grudge or whatever, you know, but you get in a situation like that and you definitely sometimes wonder, and your head plays with you a lot of times. That house last night, I could have sworn I saw a white, the size of a man, a white figure walk by. Not even a shadow, but a white figure walk by. And that was, you know, your sixth sense is there at all times. And I, you know, for me, it's just, again, it's more of a physical security, making sure nobody's getting hurt kind of thing. But when, you know, it's actually interesting if you tap into it.
How much of it do you think, though, is, like you said, your sixth sense, and how much of it do you think could just be your head playing with you and you want to see things because you think you
should? Faces in the clouds. Yeah, there's a bunny rabbit up in the sky. Yeah, I am totally with that, and I'm totally with that. And we actually debunk things on our website. If we put something up, and we actually get a lot of hits and a lot of input. We ask for input on what's on there. We've had some members of the public, you know, we had caught something, some sort of sound, and we actually start whittling away, well, it's not that, and people help us and say, this is what it sounds like, and then we'll come into agreement that, you know, if this is an EVP, you're right, so-and-so mentioned that this is what it sounds like. But yeah, that's, especially when you're talking visuals. And I mentioned orbs before. Orbs are also another anomaly that are commonly, you know, attributed to, you know, hauntings or spirits or whatever. And we capture a lot of them, actually.
What is an orb?
An orb is a you've probably seen them. Everybody has had orbs in their photographs.
I saw it on the website.
An orb it can look like a bubble, or it can sometimes be a round bright light. That usually appears over people or in photographs. And a lot of people actually have taken many photographs with an orb in them. That's kind of what got me started on organizing this, because I live here in McDonough, and the house I bought, both owners died in. They were elderly, and they both passed away in the house. I was off with the Army, and my wife had a party. She had a dinner party. And she set up the camera, and this picture's on the website.
I think I saw it.
Yeah, it's really weird. There's this giant ball right above my wife's head. And I brought it into my computer. I cropped down the ball, and I stretched it out. Then I started seeing something. I was like, and it was a bunny rabbit face in the cloud, no doubt. But I was still interested and wanted to see, because there's no reason it should have been in that picture to begin with. I hit the enhance button on my imaging software, and I swear it looks exactly like an old woman's face with short hair, and the people that died in that house were elderly. And it's just, it wasn't retouched or anything like that, but it, you know, things can look like other things. Mm-hmm. And we've actually caught a couple of, you know, little balls or...
Well, we caught one at that house where the slaves, yeah. that... There's clearly, and it's not an ore, mm-hmm. there's a picture on the website, and it's in front of a car. Mm-hmm. And at the time when I saw the photo, I saw what are the headlights, but I couldn't make out. I didn't know what it was. It was just a random picture. So I started mm-hmm. zooming in on what are the headlights, and you clearly see a face. Looks like it's crawling on the ground. Literally a face right in front of this car.
And wow. the face kind of looks like a skull, basically.
It does. I don't want to say that. It is a very intense picture.
Yeah. It's actually blocked, because with one of the investigators that came with us, I was like, what kind of license plate do you have? Do you have a face in your license plate? This thing is blocking her license plate. And it's the size, proportion, and everything of a human head and upper torso. Mm-hmm. But she says, no, I've got a just a regular car dealership, and this thing's blocking it. So,
yeah, it's totally,
you know,
blocking the license plate.
Who knows? It could have been a dog. It could have been, you yeah. know, but...
A could have been something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been Darth Maul or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, I think I could go on with this for hours personally, but we're hitting a 30-minute
cool.
mark
oh, cool.
that we probably need to
okay.
wrap it up. Do you just want to tell a little bit about the website?
Yeah, please. It's the website is henryghosthunters.com, uh-huh. Just as it's spelled. We break it down. The links are broken down into the investigations mm-hmm. we've done. A lot of times our clients don't want to... have their name or the location of the property mentioned, and we'll completely respect mm-hmm. that. We are not for profit. Mm-hmm. It was a tough decision to actually start offering T-shirts, but we've mm-hmm. had so many team members join mm-hmm. and people ask if they can get a T-shirt. We're putting T-shirts on there, and we're not even making anything off of them. Mm-hmm. We're just offering them just basically to get the word out about our mm-hmm. website. The only reason we're doing this is to get people to visit henryghosthunters.com and to call us up. If mm-hmm. they have something going on, we just want to check it out and make whatever's there open for public interpretation. So.
Would you mind if we threw a couple of EVPs in to the
absolutely.
Podcast?
Absolutely, yeah.
As examples
after
the interview's
yeah.
out?
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
We think it would be good for people
yeah.
to hear
oh,
it.
Oh, please. The best one
yeah.
would be the mob one that I
okay.
talked about,
yeah.
and probably the Oh Gosh.
And, oh Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, and the Oh Gosh.
And I died
both
in this room.
Website.
Yeah, yeah, they're all yeah. on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any of the links that are on there, certainly feel free to use any of that. And if people are experiencing things in their homes, please
yeah.
contact us. You know,
yeah.
we'll have to sort through. We're getting just inundated right now with people wanting us to do investigations, and we have
yeah.
to prioritize things based on the level of activity
yeah.
that's taking place.
And our job.
And
yeah.
our job,
and having jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get that way with a
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
Sure. But please contact us. We'll,
yeah.
we'll certainly do everything
absolutely.
We can to come investigate.
And we can be called at 678-369-9280. 369-9280. Yep.
And I would definitely love to take you up on
yeah,
going out to
I mean,
the hospital.
Yeah, so we'll scoop
yeah.
that one up above the rest if you
yeah.
guys are serious about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
let's...
Maybe
let's,
Jason Pye come too. If,
yeah,
okay.
cool.
Yeah, yeah,
I haven't actually met him in person yet, but I've interacted with him on his blog.
He has emailed us, and,
mm-hmm.
and we told him to stand by, so I
yeah.
think that might be a great opportunity
yeah.
for us all to meet.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah. Cool.
Excellent.
Good.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thanks for
all
your opportunity. Right. I hear you. Thank you.
As promised, we have a pair of EVP recordings to play back for you. First, here is the recording Albert referenced from the distressed property with a slave cabin on it. Listen for the sound of a stampeding crowd.
You're going to fit. It's an iron.
Second, here is a recording taken at Bell's Books and Candles on the McDonough Square. First, you'll hear a woman speaking in German, and then if you listen carefully, you'll hear a whisper that sounds like it says, "Oh gosh, they really think I'm a ghost. Should we go hide?"
Das Ding ging von alleine. Ich habe überhaupt nichts gedrückt.
Be sure to visit henryghosthunters.com to hear more recordings. Thanks to Albert and Andy for letting us include some here.
song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.